Is the PowerPoint there yet? Good. So, yeah. And one time Jesus was praying and the disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. How many people here struggle to pray? Just a few. Good. How many people, you have to be honest here, how many people spend at least an hour a day in prayer and the Word? Yeah, that's about four of us. That's good. How many spend 30 minutes a day? That's good. How many 15? 10. That's good. In fact, I did a research. Christians in Korea spend 45 minutes a day in prayer. Yeah, 45. Yeah, average. And when they went to America and England, we spend about 10 minutes. Yeah, see the difference? 10 minutes in prayer. So I want to look at prayer, and I want to look at, and I'm going to give an exposition of the Lord's Prayer, but today I want to look at the hindrances to prayer. What are the things that stop us getting answered prayers? Yeah. I've been here now a year, and I've been to the Wednesday prayer meeting. I've been to the pre-service prayer meeting. We have a monthly prayer meeting because I'm really committed to prayer. But I've said enough, and I've watched people pray, and I've watched certain things, and I think that's not Bible. But I haven't said anything because I never say anything until I teach on it. Yeah, because you can't tell someone that something's wrong until you teach on it. Yeah, and so we're going to touch on some things that you probably do, and you think it's Bible, but it's probably not. Yeah, and that will hinder our prayer. So I want to look at hindrances to prayer. Some of you have been praying probably for healing and you still haven't got the healing. You've been praying for your loved ones to get saved and you think they still haven't got saved. You've been praying for employment but there's still no job and you're saying, does God actually hear? In fact, one brother, one minister said he stopped praying because he said, I don't think prayer makes a difference. But he discovered that even though he only prayed 5 minutes a day, when he stopped praying completely, everything went wrong in his life. Yeah, you don't realize how powerful prayer is. And I want us to be a church of prayer. I want us to be a church of excellence. I'm all into planning, strategy, excellence. I'm all into that. But I'm also aware that nothing happens without prayer. Yeah, because God said he will build his kingdom, not us. And Jesus said he will build his church, not me. And the only way that we can know God's strategy is by prayer. So I want to look at some of the things that stop us from praying effectively. So look with me at Matthew 17. I just want to give you a little example here. Here are the disciples. And remember, Jesus sends them out to heal the sick and to preach the kingdom of God. And they come across a situation where they can't heal a particular boy. Yeah? Matthew 17. Verse 14, and it may be in your life that you're praying for something and it's not getting through. It's not happening. Yeah? And so in Matthew 17, verse 14, it says, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Now remember before that, Jesus said, I'm going to send you out and I give you power to heal. But yet they couldn't do it. And look what Jesus says here. Sometimes people think I'm a bit hard in my preaching, but Jesus is even harder than me. He doesn't say to them, oh, you poor little disciples, I know that you're just human, but he says this, oh, unbelieving and perverse generation. That's pretty strong stuff. And Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing
will be impossible for you. And then he says, verse 20, and then some manuscripts have verse 21, which the NIV puts in the margin at the bottom, and it says, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. I'm going to touch on prayer and fasting later on in this message, but it could be that, you know, you're facing a situation and you're praying, but somehow you're not getting the breakthrough. You're not getting the breakthrough. Now, there's two kinds of prayers that you will encounter, or two kinds of prayer situations that you and I will be involved in. You're either going to be praying together as a church, or you're going to be praying on your own. That's the only two scenarios, really. Okay? Whenever we gather together to pray, the purpose of gathering together to pray is to ask. Yeah? It really is. Matthew 18. Jesus says, where two and three come together in my name, he's talking about the church, and ask anything. In other words, the purpose when we get together to pray is to ask. It's to ask for needs. That's why I'm not as afraid or embarrassed to say, Lord, we need some jobs. We need some people. Because that's the purpose. When we gather together as a church, is to ask for particular needs. And I'm going to touch on that later on, because many people fail to realize that's the purpose why we gather, is to ask for things, okay? When you're on your own, there are a lot of things you can do on your own when you pray that you can't do in a gathering, yeah? If you want to scream and shout and swing from the lampshades on your own, you do that. Yeah, God don't mind. But when you're in a gathering, there's a limitation on what you can do. I'm going to show you the things that we can do when we gather. So what are the things that will hinder us from prayer? Because there are certain things that if you don't get them right, you'll be praying and your prayers will never go any higher than the roof. Okay? So let's look then at the hindrances and solutions to some of the things that stop us from praying effectively. Here's the first one. So next slide there, please, Daisy. The first one that will stop you from getting prayers answered is habitual sin in your life. Look with me at Isaiah 59, verse 2. And if as a Christian I am walking in disobedience and sin, and I'm praying, God's not going to hear my prayers. And it's not that God doesn't hear my prayers or doesn't want to bless me. It's just that when I come out of God's will, I open myself to the devil to hinder me and stop things happening. And so in Isaiah 59, he says, surely the arm of the Lord is not short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But look at this. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins, look at this, your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. There was a time in my life as a Christian, I was walking in blatant disobedience to God. Yeah? And I could still preach, but you know what? Things were happening, were stopping happening in my life. And God said, you need to deal with that sin in your life. Yeah? In John 17, verse 4, I believe, John 15, verse 7, Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it will be done. And there's some of us here, we're struggling, we're praying, oh God, do this, and God is saying, hey, you've got to deal with that sin in your life. If you don't, I'm not going to hear you. I'm going to hide my face from you. And the solution to deal with sin in our life is to confess it. Yeah? Confess it. Don't cover it up. Don't hide it. And so in James chapter 5:15, here's what James says to us as Christians. And that's why we need one another. We need one another that we can speak to, we can share with. And he says this. Verse 15 of James 5. It says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. I don't want to digress down here, but sometimes some of our chronic sicknesses that we have can be a result of habitual sin. Right? James suggests that there, and in 1 Corinthians it suggests that there, and Jesus suggests that, yeah? And he says, the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. That's why I strongly believe in praying for each other. We need prayer. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Here's a challenge, saints. Are there areas in your life that you need to deal with? The Holy Spirit is speaking to you and say, hey, you've got to deal with that. If you don't deal with that, I'm not going to hear your prayers. Doesn't matter how much you shout. Doesn't matter how much you speak in tongues, if you speak in tongues. Yeah? If we don't deal with the sin, he's not going to hear our prayers. The second thing that can hinder your prayers, brothers and sisters, is, next one please, is ostentatious prayers. You know what that means? You know, people that are, they're extra. My mom used to call it extra. you've got to hear him pray. Yeah? And in fact, they'll even pray in King James as well version to make it really sound really holy. Thou holy God, thou hast callest me. Yeah? And they're extra, as my mum would say. They show off their prayers. And Jesus says, if you pray like that, I'm not going to hear you. Let me give you a Bible. Matthew chapter 6. Again, I think that when we're gathered together in a group setting, we shouldn't have long prayers. The longest your prayer should be is 1 minute, and then someone else pray. You want to come back again, come back again, but not a long prayer. Some people preach a sermon when they're praying. Yeah? In fact, they are preaching when they're praying. That's not prayer. That's preaching. Leave the preaching to me. Yeah? Prayer is asking. Yeah? And so Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, he says this. He says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. And look at this. Notice that hypocrites love to pray. You'd have thought they don't, but they love to pray. He says, hypocrites love to pray, standing in the synagogues and the street corners to be seen of men. When you're praying, what's the motive of your prayer? Is it to impress people or to receive from God? I tell you the truth, they receive the reward in full. When I teach on this later on, you'll see, you can get a reward now if you want, or you wait till the day of judgment, the day of reckoning. You can give an impression that you're holy, and people say, oh, what a holy man this one is. Oh, I wish I was like him. That's a reward. Or you can wait till God tells you, and that's more important. And so Jesus says, they have their reward, because people look at them thinking, oh, look at these Pharisees. Look how much they pray. And look at what the big words he uses in his prayer. Yeah? And then he says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward. I'm going to touch on that later on. I wonder if the people that pray long prayers, if they actually pray secretly at home as well. Because that's what really matters. That's the thing I will never see, but God sees. Yeah? And then he says here, and when you pray, do not keep babbling on like the pagans. You know, some people, they pray, and by the time you're finished, you're falling asleep. Yeah, he says, don't drag it out. Now, if you want to pray long on your own, of course you can. You can pray 10 hours if you want to pray at home, but don't pray 10 hours in the church. He says, and babbling like the pagans, they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Here's the question to you. Here's a challenge, friends. When you pray, we're going to touch on it later, you don't have to pray long if it's praying in faith. Yeah? You don't have to convince God. God doesn't need convincing. Only you need convincing. You know, there's some people think, if I talk, I can talk God into it. You know, no. Now, what should characterize, where should you do your long prayers? Do your long prayers at home. As I said, I wonder if the people that pray long publicly, if they actually do that privately. And so Jesus says here, when you pray, go into your private room and pray. Yeah? 1 Corinthians, it's in your notes, 1 Corinthians chapter 1:18. Paul says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. In his private time, he was speaking in tongues. He spent hours in speaking in tongues. But he said, in the church, to speak a few words. I want you to spend hours in your prayer, in your private time. That's what you should be doing. But you know what? No one will ever know except Jesus. It was amazing when you see somebody's evangelist and you see brother so-and-so praying in secret with the Lord. And if he's praying in secret, how come they got a picture of him? You know? No one will ever know. No one will ever know when you pray. No one will ever know when you fast. No one will ever know when you give. That's the thing you do in secret. And so we need to be careful. What's motivating our prayers? Are we trying to impress people? Don't do that here. It's to ask. It's to ask in faith. The third thing that will cause, will hinder your prayer is when you lose heart because of delayed answered prayer. You know, sometimes people have been praying so long. You know, sometimes some young ladies, they pray, Lord, bring me a godly man, and one never comes, and they give up. Some people are praying, oh God, I need healing, and they give up. And I'm saying, don't do that. Here's what Jesus says in Luke 18. It says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Don't ever give up. And then he tells in this parable, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in the town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because of this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for this chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Hey, friends, there's sometimes in your life, there are some things that you've got to persistently just keep bringing them to God. It's not because of unbelief. There's some strongholds that you just got to bring before the Lord, and the answer here is seasons of prayer and fasting. Yeah? I know some of you love your food. I like my food as well. Don't get me wrong. Love my food. In fact, I'm looking forward to my Sunday dinner today. Yeah? But sometimes we have to deny ourselves of food and get down to some serious prayer and fasting. Yeah? Because some things, they're not going to move in your life unless you mix it with prayer and fasting. Especially for our kids sometimes, the only thing that's going to get them back is prayer and fasting and cry out to God. Yeah? We live in serious times where the enemy, he's not playing games. We think he's playing games. He is out to destroy you, destroy your kids and your grandchildren, and prayer and fasting will break that. And it may be that there's some things in your life that you've been praying for and it's not shifted. I want to encourage you, don't give up. But combine it with prayer and fasting. Yeah? Prayer and fasting. A fourth hindrance to prayer is coming to God with a self-righteous spirit. Stay with me at Luke chapter 18. And here's what Jesus says here. You know, again, It's going back to the pride and the ostentatiousness that we just spoke about. But look at Luke 18, verse 9. He says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness. Yeah? You know, there's some Christians that think they've made it. Yeah? You know, in fact, I'm so good, I'm not even sure why Jesus died. Yeah? They're full of pride. Yeah? And in these days, it was the Pharisees. And he says, and look down on everyone else. And Jesus told them this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Tax collector was a term for the sinner and the unbeliever. Okay? The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. Yeah? God, I thank you that I'm not like the other man. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all that I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Friends, don't ever get to the place where you think you've arrived. Don't ever get to the place where you think you can make this life in your own power. That's pride. And Jesus says, if our prayer is influenced by that spirit, he's not going to hear our prayers. If we're praying and saying, well, I'm not like the people down the road there, our prayers will be hindered. You know what our attitude should be every day when we pray? And when I unpack the Lord's Prayer, I'll touch on this. He says, Lord, in the prayer, he says, forgive us our trespasses. Every day. I'm not talking about you living in condemnation and sin, but every day you're conscious of the fact that without God's grace, without God's strength, you cannot live holy and pure in this life. Psalms 51, David, he commits adultery and he commits murder. And God forgives him. And in his prayer, he says, Lord, a contrite heart you will not despise. That's the kind of heart that God's looking for. And God's looking for a people that are humble, a people that, you know, the only reason that I'm standing here, the only reason that I can live for Christ is because of God's grace that I have in my life. Yeah, we're going to speak out against sin. We're going to speak out against all unrighteousness, but we do it not because we are right, but we do it because that's God's word for this nation. And we speak it out and say, that would be me had it not been for the grace of God. A fifth thing that will hinder your prayers, brothers and sisters, is praying in doubt and unbelief. As we were up in Huddersfield, my wife and I, this weekend, and I was with a pastor friend of mine, and he's going through a rough patch at the moment, and he said something to me, and he said, you know, he said, Winston, it's really weird, everything I've preached, God is now getting me to live it through. He's testing me. And I said to him the same thing. I said, that's interesting because everything I've preached, God has now forced me to say, do you actually really believe what you preach? And many times we say things, we preach things, but in our hearts we don't really believe it. Sometimes we're even praying, and as we pray, in our minds we're saying, no, this ain't going to happen. And so God warns, he says, don't pray in unbelief and doubt. And so many times we say things with our mouth, but our hearts don't believe it. Do you know it's possible for your head to believe something and your heart not to? Let me give you an example. It's a bit like when you're in serious debt and you're saying with your mouth, oh God, meet my needs, but your heart says, I'm going to be in prison next week. Yeah, because the two has got to match up. Yeah? And so James says here, if our head doesn't match our heart, our prayers are not going to be answered. Yeah? And so he says here in James chapter 1, at verse 5, he says, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Look at that. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. See the battle that we have? That sometimes we believe things with our head, but our heart is saying, oh God, is saying something different. And I want to encourage you that the only way that you can get strong faith is by reading this word. Your faith has got to, you can't base your faith on feelings. You can't even base it on anybody's testimony. Ultimately, it's going to be based upon this word. And so in Mark 11, 22, Jesus says, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever things you ask for, believe that you have received them, and it will be yours. Some of you, you've got to begin to get your heart to say what your head is saying. Until the two come into unity, you'll never get your prayers answered. Moving on quickly, number six, praying contrary to the revealed will of God. Now, this is where I'm going to get a bit delicate here. Because there's three things I've noticed in this church where people pray and it's actually contrary to the will of God. Three things. I was just thinking about it, and for a year I've just kind of bit my lip and kind of said, Winston, don't say nothing. But now I must. Yeah? Let me give you a scripture first that actually anything that you pray that is not in God's will never be answered. Do you know that? Yeah? 1 John 5:14, it says this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will. How are you going to know what his will is? How do we know God's will? Where will we find his will?
Read the word.
The word, yeah. That's why you got to know the word. And you can tell people that don't know the word, their prayers don't match up with the word, you see. He says, according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. Three things that I've noticed in this church as I've been here. First of all, it's people praying for dead people. Yeah? The amount of times that, oh, Lord, pray, we pray for so-and-so's soul. Yeah? Now, maybe Catholics can do that, but we don't do that. And maybe spiritualist church do that, yeah? Yeah? Hebrews, jot this down, Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto every man to die once, and after that judgment. Once a person is dead, that's it. There's nothing you can do this side to change their destiny. Nothing. In fact, in the parable where Jesus has the rich man go to Hades, that's in Luke, I can't remember the passage now, but Luke, and he says, there is a gulf fixed between you and me. Nothing you can do. Can we cease now praying for dead people in this church? Yeah? Once they're gone, they're gone. We're not praying for more. Oh, Lord, touch her soul. No, that's it. They're finished. That's why I preach strong, because if you don't repent now, when you're dead, that's it. You better act now. You better live now good, because once you die, that's it. The line is drawn. There is no hope. The next thing that I notice in this church, we pray, Lord, we pray for peace in the world. Which sounds good. It may be nice if you're a beauty pageant, you know. What do you want? World peace. Yeah? But In all the Bible, Jesus never says, pray for the peace for the world. In fact, you know what he said? He said, I've come to bring a sword. I've come to set a man against his daughter-in-law. I've come to bring war. In Revelation, he says, when he opens up the seals, he sets in motion all the things that you see happening around us. It's not by mistake. God's got a plan and a purpose. And secondly, when you pray for world peace, how do you know when world peace comes? That's why your prayers must be specific. What does Paul say? He does say, pray for governments. Pray for kings. Do you know who your MP is? Do you pray for him? What's his name? Alford, is it? Yeah. Do you pray for him? That's what you should be doing. Praying for your MP. Praying for Cameron. Yeah, that's Bible. But it sounds good, but it's ridiculous. And then the third thing that I hear that we do here is always praying in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, it sounds good, but do you know in all the Bible they never do that? In Matthew 28, it says baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but it never says pray in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It says pray in the name of Jesus. Very important. Let me give you a scripture here, because all these things, if you miss it, it sounds good, but I tell you what, God ain't hearing no prayer. God ain't hearing no prayer. Look at John 14. Let me just show you here that our prayers are to be prayed to God in the name of Jesus. It's so clear, just unbelievable. John 14, 13. He says this, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me anything in my name and I will do it. John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. John 16, 23. In that day you will no longer ask anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you'll receive, and your joy will be complete. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. You know what's happened? We've allowed Catholicism and Popism to actually wheel into the church. And I'm saying to this day, boom, it's out of West Endon in Jesus' name. Yeah? We pray in Jesus' name. We don't pray for no dead people. And our prayers are specific. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Good. And then finally, the last one, what would hinder your prayers is unresolved relationships. You know, if you're husband and wife and you're living as cat and dog, again, another phrase my mum used to use, yeah, cat and dog. Cat don't like dog, I don't know why, but must have watched too much Tom and Jerry. But anyway, God says he won't hear your prayers, especially us men. In fact, he goes to us men because we're meant to be leaders of our homes. And he says this, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. And treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Then look at what he says there, so that nothing will hinder your prayer. You ever wondered, men, why your prayers have not been answered? Your wife may have the answer. Yeah? Treat her good. Seriously. Yeah? I thought the lady would say, preach it, brother. Amen. Seriously. And it, not only husband and wife, but any relationship, if we got unresolved relationships, and then we're going to God to pray, he's not hearing us. Yeah? Yeah? Unresolved relationships will hinder our prayers. And so we need to deal with those. How do we deal with those? Here's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. You know, sort it out. Matthew 5 and 21, he says this. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago. That's not what I want to read. Yeah, I'll pick it up from verse 23 here. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or wife has sinned something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Yeah. We've got to live in a good relationship with each other. Good relationship. So seven hindrances. Let me conclude. Final slide. Two things. If you're going to benefit from this series of teaching, there's two things that you need to do. Number one, you've got to be willing. I want to learn how to pray. Yeah? Just like the disciples said, Lord Jesus, teach us how to pray. Then your heart is like, hey, I want to learn how to pray effectively. If you don't have that attitude, you're not going to gain anything from this. But secondly, and more importantly, you've got to renounce all the hindrances that God has shown that may be hindering your prayer life right now. Let's bow our heads and pray. In a moment, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask for people that if you've got some needs that you want me to pray for, I'm going to ask you to come to the front in a few moments and pray for you. I'm not going to pray long. It's just going to be an act of faith. But pray that God will break strongholds over your life. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that, Lord God, that you're wanting to make us a people of prayer. We don't want to be religious. We don't want to be legalistic. We don't want to be ritualistic. We just want to be real before you, Lord. And Father, we just pray right now for the various things that may be hindering our prayers that the Holy Spirit has probably just spoken to us about. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would set us free. I pray for many that, Lord God, have got great prayer needs, and Lord God, for months and possibly years, has not got a breakthrough. I pray, Holy Spirit, that, Lord God, that you would give them the breakthrough that they need. Oh, Lord, that we would be obedient to your word, that we want to learn to pray, and we renounce every hindrance that will hinder our prayers. You're here today, and the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, and you want prayer. I want you to come to the front now. I'm going to pray for you. There's areas in your life that you just want God just to break strongholds, yeah? Worship team, come and just lead us a chorus, and I'm going to pray for you, okay? Pray that God will break those strongholds and hindrances. Not going to pray long, but just going to agree with you as God will just set you free in Jesus' name. You're here today, and remember, God is wanting to bless us and strengthen us as a people. Yeah? He wants us to be as strong as a people, and you come, going to pray for